13th chapter of Mark's Gospel. The disciples, having observed the great temple in Jerusalem, are told by Christ that it will all be brought to nothing. There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. All the building of man, all the religion of man, all the glorying of man shall be brought to nothing in the end. The disciples ask him when these things shall be. And the Lord says unto them, take heed lest any man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when ye shall hear of wars and rumours of wars, be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in diverse places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows. He describes how the children of God will be brought into the synagogues and beaten, how they'll be brought before rulers and kings for his sake as a testimony against them. But the gospel must first be published among all nations. He describes the persecution and opposition which will come. And he says in verse 20, and except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he hath shortened the days. And then if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, he is there, believe him not. For false Christs and false prophets shall rise, and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. But take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. He then goes on to talk of his return, of how the sun shall be darkened, the moon not given light, the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall he send his angels, and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost parts of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Now learn a parable of the fig tree, he says. When a branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is near. So ye in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh even at the doors. Verily I say unto you that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not what the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house, and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Watch. So he tells us of his coming, of the end of the earth as we know it, of his gathering in of the elect, of how we don't know the hour, or the day, or the time when he shall return, and the importance as the children of God to be diligent and to watch, for he shall return, and this earth shall be destroyed and judged, and the sheep shall be separated from the goats, the elect shall be divided from the wicked. He will gather in his people, and this world will be no more. So he says unto you, and he says unto all, watch. Are you watching? Are you watching? Are you attentive? Are you looking? Are you longing for the return of Christ? When you wake up, child of God, each day, are you thinking this might be the day? Is this the day when Christ will return? Is that your desire? Do you long for him to return? Or are you taken up with the things of this world? Are you taken up with the concerns of the day? Where you should go, what you shall do, your work, your pleasure, this thing and that thing. Do these things consume you? So you forget that this world is just a passing phase. And reality is what is everlasting. And that there is coming that day when Christ shall return with his angels to judge this world and to separate the righteous from the wicked. That day is coming, and it is coming fast. And Christ here speaks earlier in the chapter of things that we shall see as we lead up to that day. Things that are there throughout all time, but things particularly that we see in our day. There are wars and rumours of wars. Nation rises up against nation, kingdom against kingdom, earthquakes in diverse places, famines and troubles. And the children of God are persecuted, not simply in the world, but in religion. They're brought up in the synagogues to be beaten. Not only does the world scoff and mock at those that follow Christ, but the religious world scoffs and mocks at those who follow the one true Christ. The children of God, the disciples, will be brought into the synagogues, the churches, and beaten. Don't preach that. Don't preach him. Don't follow that gospel and that Christ. You can follow this one. You can follow this gospel. You can worship with us and follow our Jesus. But you come speaking of yours. Yours who will come and return and bring this world to an end, as you say. And we will take you in our synagogues, we will take you in our churches, and we will beat you. That is the reality of which Christ speaks of here. The reality of a world in which, as he has said, there shall come in his name many who say, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. A world in which many shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, he's there. For false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. But take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. For false Christs and false prophets shall arise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. But take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. So Christ makes plain to his disciples and makes plain to us today that as time goes on, there shall be many who come in his name. There shall be many false Christs spoken of. There shall be many false prophets, false preachers in the churches. There shall be many churches that call themselves Christs, that say they follow Christ, that say they preach Christ, that say here is Christ, lo, here is Christ, lo, he is there, who are false. Their Christ is false. Their prophets, their preachers are false. They seduce, they have signs and wonders, they entrance, they intrigue, they entertain. they deceive. They deceive many. And if it were possible, they deceive even the elect. But the elect, having been foretold by Christ that they shall come, hear him, and another they cannot hear. They hear the good shepherd, and when the hireling comes, the false shepherd, they will not follow, because they've heard his voice first, and he's warned them. And he said, there will come many. There will come many who are false. False prophets, false Christs, false churches. Now we live in days where there are many, many churches that take the name of Jesus Christ. And many of them will gather together in an ecumenical frenzy of saying, we're all one in Jesus Christ. We're all different but alike. Different churches, different names, different ways of worship, but all serving the same God. We're all one. We're all united. And not only will the ones that take Christ's name unite in such a way, but they try to take all religions and say we're all essentially serving the same God. We have different ideas of who God is and different ideas of how we get to heaven, but we're all one. But in proclaiming their unity, in proclaiming their oneness, in proclaiming their Christ and their God and their salvation, they do in fact deny what Christ has said will come to pass. Because Christ has not declared that there will be one united church, all with many variations, but all one in him. He's declared that there shall be many Christs and many false prophets, many churches that take his name, which shall deceive and lead to destruction. So either they are all true as their one united ecumenical church, all following Christ with differences, but all one, or they are false. False Christ, there are many gospels, each preaching their own Christ. Some we can clearly see. Some we can take the scriptures and read the scriptures and hear what they say and say, well, that's not according to the scriptures. Who you say is Christ, the Christ you describe, is not according to the scriptures. And they are blatant in their errors. The scriptures declare that Christ is God, the Son of God, the eternal Son of God, that the Son of God, the Word of God from the beginning, was made flesh, that he became a man, that the Son of God, the person of God, took upon himself human flesh and a human soul, and that one divine person was born a man of Mary. Having perfect humanity, truly man and truly God, yet born of the Holy Ghost, without sin. Now there are many who call themselves Christian, many who say they follow Jesus, many who will say that they follow the Bible, who deny that in part or in entirety. There are many who will deny the divinity of Christ. They will say he's a man. He was this man who did this and did that and preached this and preached that, but he was not truly God. There are others who will say he is God, but he was never truly man. He doesn't have a soul like we have. There are those who will deny that he was born of a virgin. There will those who will deny that as God, the Son of God, he was eternal from the beginning, that the Word was there from the beginning, one with the Father, that he was the Son of God eternally. There are those who will claim that in eternity he was in a different essence. A person in the Godhead, but not the Son. That he only became the Son when he was born. There are many who will claim this and that, but they deny his person as the eternal Son of God from the beginning. And whatever they may say in saying they follow Jesus, their Jesus is not this Jesus. He's not the Jesus that spake to the disciples here. He's not the Christ who foretold them of what would come. He's another. He doesn't fit with what Christ is. They give him the name Jesus. They talk about him as Christ. They say various things about him. They will follow the idea that he walked around and healed many and healed the sick, and that in the end he was crucified. But he's not the Christ that the disciples knew. He's not the Christ the disciples heard. He's another. He's a false Christ. Now some of these are easy to discern. Their contradictions with the scriptures are blatant. They flatly deny many of the things that the scriptures make plain. There are those who deny the virgin birth, even though the scriptures make plain that Christ was born of a virgin. There are those who deny the resurrection, even though the scriptures make plain that he rose again the third day, that he truly died and truly rose again. There are those who attack his death and say that it was just a picture, a representative picture of a man suffering for others. But they don't truly believe he died. Or they don't truly believe that he bore the sins of his people and that's what caused his death. They call their Jesus Jesus. They call their Christ Christ. But he's not the Christ that spake here. And then there are others who will agree with many things, but who deviate in a much more subtle manner. Oh, they have a Christ, and their Christ, yes indeed, he's the Son of God. Yes indeed, he was born of Mary. Yes indeed, he died. Yes indeed, he rose again. But again, they deny his words. Christ says that he laid down his life for the sheep. He died for the elect. He speaks here unto his disciples, the elect, and he says at his coming that he will gather in the elect from the four corners of the earth. He says that those, that many will be deceived by false Christs and false prophets, but not the elect. He speaks of a chosen elect people, the sheep, a particular people for whom he died. And for none other. And yet there are many who will claim many things and be oh so biblical. And yet they attack his death. And they say that he didn't just die for the elect, but he died for all. And those who are saved are those who choose to follow him, who choose to receive him, who accept him. But he died for all. And they deny his words. When he speaks of a chosen people, a chosen generation, an elect company, the sheep, not the goats. They undermine what he teaches so that goats can suddenly become sheep when they make a decision. When Christ plainly teaches in John 10 to the Pharisees that ye do not believe because you're not of my sheep. The sheep hear and believe. The goats always reject. Goats never become sheep and sheep never become goats. There's a chosen generation. Yet for many they have a Christ who died for all. And yet all aren't saved. So their Christ is a failure. Christ saves all whom he came to save. Christ is God. He's victorious. He does exactly what he chooses to do. He's all powerful. Every one for whom he suffered and died will be saved. Because he suffered and died for his elect, for the sheep, for his people, for a particular people whom he knew by name and whose particular sins he bore and suffered for. He knows exactly whom he will save because he took them. He died with them. They were spiritually united with him. He knew them by name. He knew who they were. They were wed to him. They were one with him. He was there on the cross and they were there with him. When he suffered and died upon the cross, Saul, Paul suffered with him. Christ was one with Saul. He knew who Saul was. He was one with him. Saul was in him. He wasn't just the name he knew of, but Saul was there in Christ's heart, one with him, united to him. And Christ bore Saul's sins. And having taken them away, he rose again with him. He who he would call Paul, the other side of death, cleansed, washed clean with a new name because he was changed. But Christ knew him. Christ was there upon the cross, hanging upon the cross with David in his heart, bearing David's sins. Christ was there upon the cross with Peter in his heart, bearing Peter's sins. And James and John and all his people, all particular, all named, all known to him. He died for them, not for all. And all for whom he died, he saved. He saved. If he died for all, he would save all. But we know that all are not saved. We know that all are not saved. We know that all don't believe. We know that many perish rejecting God and rejecting Christ and rejecting the gospel. Then he never died for all. And those who preach it preach a lie. And their Christ who died for all is not Christ. Their Jesus who hung on the cross, who loves all and extends his arms out, wanting all to come unto him, pleading with all to come unto him and accept him and believe on him, is not Christ. He's a figment of their imagination. He's a deception and a creation of false prophets who preach a false Christ. He's not Christ. Yet they claim many things that are very similar to the truth. Their Christ came. Their Christ was born of a virgin. Their Christ died. Their Christ rose again on the third day. But their Christ died for all. There are yet those who go even further. Their Christ died for all. And his death was sufficient for all. But is sufficient only for the elect. Reading of the elect in the scriptures, they come up with a Christ who only in the end saves the elect, but whose death was sufficient to save all. So they accommodate the election of God whilst trying to pretend that the death of Christ was sufficient for all, and the deciding factor again becomes whether those people believe. This is subtle, but really it's blatant. It's the same as the former. Their Christ died for all. They give lip service to the election of God. They say that ultimately the death of Christ, the blood of Christ, is applied only to the elect. But it was there, ready and waiting to be applied to whomever received it. Christ makes plain that his blood was shed for his people. He died for the sheep. And that's why all the sheep are saved. Yes, there are many Christs and false prophets that rise up who show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. And many of these Christs seem very, very similar to the true one. But there's still another. There's still another. Oh, how these false prophets in our day unite together as one church, one ecumenical church, all claiming to follow Jesus. Oh, they have different ideas, they have different ways of worship, but they're all one. But as I've said, their claim to be one denies what Christ teaches us plainly here. He says there will be many false Christs. So if you're all one, where are the false Christs? If you're all united and there are many roads to God, where are the false Christs? Where are the false prophets? If there aren't any, if you're all right in your various ways, if you're all united and true in your various ways, despite your differences, you're all together. You're all ultimately following God. Where are the false Christs then? Where are the false prophets? You've denied my word. In your desire for unity and papering over all the cracks and the differences, in your pretense to be one, you've proved that you are all false. Because Christ has plainly said, he's foretold all things. Take heed, behold, I have foretold you all things, he says to his people. There will be false Christs and false prophets. If any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, he is there, believe him not. He's either me who they describe, or he's not. If their Christ is not me, if their description of Christ is not a description of me, Christ says. If what they say is different in any manner from what the truth is as I have foretold you, then they are preaching another Christ and they are another prophet. There will be many false Christs and many false prophets. If there are many false Christs, then they are preached by false prophets, those who declare and speak of these Christs. The Christ who is not truly God. The Christ who is not truly man. The Christ who only became the Son of God at his birth or at his resurrection. The Christ who is not the Son of God eternally. The Christ who did not truly die for the elect. The Christ who did not truly die. The Christ who did not truly rise again from the dead. The Christ who did not truly bear the sins of his people. The Christ who did not truly bring about a true and a full redemption of his people. The Christ who died for all and not just the elect. If these are your Christs, and there are many of them, then there must be many preachers of them. Where there are many false Christs, there are many false prophets. False prophets. How shall you know them? How shall you discern them? Well, firstly, these false prophets, in preaching a false Christ, clearly never knew this Christ or were never of this Christ. If they knew him, they rejected him. If they heard his word, they believed it not. But he never sent them. He never made them to be prophets. He never put his word in their heart and sent them forth with it. He never delivered them from their sins. He never washed them with his blood. Because if he did, they wouldn't preach another Christ. They would preach him. They wouldn't be deceiving others, because they wouldn't be deceived themselves. So they're not of Christ. They've not been sent of him. They've not been taught of him. They don't know him. So they've sent themselves. And in sending themselves into the churches to deceive many, they serve themselves and not Christ and not the people of God. They're there because what they do makes sense to them. They're serving themselves. They're finding a career for themselves. They like the applause of men. They like to be stood up and to have people follow them. They like to have the power to lead people a certain way. They entrance people. They captivate them. Because they show forth signs and wonders which seduce. For false Christs and false prophets shall arise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. Well, the elect aren't seduced by them, but many others are. And that's the day and age we live in. How many churches there are with how many prophets and preachers in the midst where the people are seduced. They stand up and they lead the worship and they lead the congregations and they tell them this and they tell them that and the people are seduced. So in spite of the fact that the Christ they declare is not the Christ of the scriptures, in spite of the fact that what they say is not ultimately true, what they do say and the way in which they say it is captivating. It's appealing. It's appealing. People like that. They like these prophets. They like their Christ. They like their churches. They like their worship. They like their message. It's appealing. If it wasn't, the people wouldn't follow. But it's appealing. There are many churches, we see, with a great appeal unto many. Generally, the appeal is greater the more the churches are like the world. The more the world's music comes into their worship. The more the world's entertainment comes into their worship. The more the world's means and manners of leading public speeches comes into the manner of their preaching and their teaching. The more they ape the world, the more the worldly love them. So they have their charismatic meetings. They have their community churches. They have their family churches. They have their entertainment. They have these churches which appeal to the society as a whole because it gives society as a whole what it wants. It has the music of the world. It has the entertainment of the world. It has the friendship of the world. It gives them a social base. It gives the world somewhere to go where they can have friends and security and those that care for them and those that are concerned for them in their everyday lives. They're not too worried about the Christ that is preached or the message which is preached or the doctrine which comes forth from these prophets. Because what appeals is what these people offer them for their everyday lives. It gives them a place to go on a Sunday where they can gather with many others and be entertained and feel the love and warmth of others. It gives them a base and a meaning and an order for their lives. It gives them a place to be entertained and to worship and to sing like they like to, which has a focus on something which seems more moral and upright and worthwhile. Better to go and to speak and to praise and to sing regarding God and regarding Jesus than just to sing love songs in the world about others that come and go. So it's very appealing and it's very seducing. And they produce signs and wonders. Their gospel, their Jesus, does wonderful things, which the people like to see. But they don't preach Christ. And they don't preach the true Christ. They may speak of a Jesus. They may speak of a Jesus born in Bethlehem, particularly at this time of the year. They may captivate those that want to think of nice things. They may speak of a Jesus who went about healing the sick. They may speak of a Jesus who loves everyone and loves you and wants to lead you in your life. They may speak of a Jesus who died and rose again to bring peace to the world. They may speak of a Jesus who died for all and wants all to be saved. They may say many things, but all that they do, all that they bring, is a deceit, for it's not the Christ that foretold of the deception that would come. They don't like to preach of the Jesus that warned that there are those false prophets who shall come, who will preach a false Christ and a false message which leads to destruction. They don't like to speak of the Jesus who repeatedly spoke of hellfire and the condemnation to come, hell and the judgment to come for our sins. It's something they like to steer clear of because that doesn't appeal to the world. That affrights, that offends the world. That leads many away. They don't like to speak of the election of God because that offends the pride of man, that God should choose to save some and pass others by. That salvation isn't in your grasp or in your control, but in God's. The reality of a sovereign God and a sovereign Saviour is an offence to many. So they bypass it. And they don't like to preach the cross as the scriptures preach the cross. Because the cross, the crucifixion of Christ, the message of the cross and the doctrine of the cross is an offence. So they can say everything you like about the morals in the Bible, the Ten Commandments, how we live, how we worship, how we live our lives, what we should do. They can say everything they like about Jesus and his teachings and his morals and his love and his kindness. But when it comes to his cross and what happened at the cross and for whom he truly suffered and how he suffered and why he suffered. When it comes to the reality that he went to the cross because of the total depravity of sin that is in man, the utter fallen state of man, the deadness of man, the death of man, the sin that's within man, that man is a sinner through and through, that he's full of sin, that he can't help but sin, that everything he does and thinks and says is sinful, and that is why Christ had to die, because to deliver such a people, one had to die for that sin. When it comes to that sure and certain message, they become grey and murky and fuzzy and avoid the clarity, because it's here that they do not like it. There's an offence. They don't like that Christ only died for his sheep and not the goats. They don't like that a Christ who doesn't stand wanting all to be saved but comes victorious and died for a people and preaches to that people and gathers in that people by his Holy Spirit and quickens them and brings them to life and puts faith in their hearts and causes them to believe and to hear and causes them to follow. They don't preach a Christ who's effectual in his salvation. A Christ who came for his people, suffered and died for them and saves them in the end. A Christ who endured hell upon the cross, the torments of the damned, the torments of God's true and strict justice against the sins of all his people throughout all time. Christ truly died, and he suffered a death that you cannot imagine. But it's a death that you will suffer if you know him not. If you follow a false Christ and trust in a false Christ and trust in the message of one of these false prophets, then you will know what Christ endured. When you begin to endure it in eternity, you'll know something of what he suffered. You won't know quite what he endured, because you'll suffer for your sins. But he suffered for many. He suffered for many, and he was innocent. When you suffer in hell because of your rebellion and your hatred of God, if that's where you end up, you will know that it's right and it's true and it's just, and it's because of what you've done, you've earned it. But when Christ suffered, he suffered for the sins of others. He hadn't sinned. He was suffering because he stood in their place. He said, "Don't punish them, punish me." He stood in their place. A substitute for sinners. He stood as an absolute substitute. He bore what they deserved to bear. He died the death that they deserved to die. And having risen again, he sent forth his prophets, his disciples, with this message. A message which is rejected by many. A message which you will not hear from the false prophets with their false Christ, who come with their wonders and signs to seduce. They are those who deceive, for they can do nothing else. As such, they too are subtle in their deception. Just like the false Christ can be subtle, these preachers of him can be subtle. They come as angels of light. They pretend to be serving God. They pretend to be serving you. They pretend to be righteous. They come with much of the truth, as much of the truth as possible. Satan will send them forth with as much of the truth as he can get away with. He'll make them as near to the truth as he can possibly get at times. But mixed in with it all are deviations here and there. Their Christ is not this Christ. They deceive, but they don't deceive the elect, for it is not possible. For the elect, the sheep, are in Christ's hands, and none can pluck them from him. None can take them out of his hands. They're his. He suffered for them. He shed his blood for them. He's cleansed them. He's washed them. He's delivered them. And he's spoken unto them. They know him. They've heard his voice. They've walked with him. And he's spoken unto them. And like these disciples, he's come unto them. And he's foretold them all things. He said, I will return. And in the last days, these things shall happen before I return. And when you see false Christs and false prophets arise, don't follow them. They're not me. Don't believe them. If a man shall come unto you and say, lo, here is Christ, or lo, he is there, believe him not, because it's not me. You've heard my voice. You know who I am. You know my gospel. You know the truth. Then when they come claiming to be me, or claiming to be sent of me, or claiming to be a preacher sent of me, but they preach something else. They preach another gospel. They preach a gospel in which salvation hinges upon your decision or your works, your righteousness. A gospel in which you need to live a certain way. When you know you can't. When you know you didn't. When you know you were lying in the gutter in squalor, unable, without strength, and you needed someone to save you. When they come with their gospel of works, their gospel of the will of man, don't follow them. Don't believe them. When they describe a Christ that wants everyone to be saved, reject them, because you know it's not me. You know it's not me. No, the elect won't be deceived, because the elect know Christ. Because they know him. They know Christ himself. This is why they can discern. This is why, child of God, you can discern. You can see that there are many false Christs in the world, because you know that they are not the Christ you know. You can tell there are many false prophets in the world, because they come preaching a gospel which is not the gospel you've heard, not the gospel you know, and not the gospel that brought you life. That's how you can tell. You've heard him. The elect have heard him. They've seen him. They've seen him by faith in the gospel. God has given them faith. God has come by the gospel, come with the Holy Ghost, come with the gospel, and used that gospel to quicken them unto life. He's put faith in their hearts to believe it. And when they believe it, when they hear the voice of Jesus Christ, when they were there in the grave, and Christ came by and spake, and like Lazarus, they came forth and followed him. When they've heard his voice, and the power of the gospel, and the power of the word of God, the same word which spake in the beginning, and the creation came into being, light shone in the darkness, the world came forth. The stars were scattered in the firmament. The sun and the moon were created. The life was brought forth on the earth. The lands were separated from the sea. And all living creatures were created. And man was created on the sixth day. When they heard the voice of the same God, the same Saviour, the same Christ, the same word of God that spake in the beginning and brought all that forth, when they've heard his voice, and they who were dead lived, and they come forth as a living being with eternal life in their hearts, one with Christ, when they've heard his voice and walked and followed him, when they've stood up as the lame man that stood up healed and followed him, when they've opened their eyes as a blind man whose eyes are opened by Christ to see, when they hear as a deaf man whose ears are touched and they hear his voice, when they rise up as a dead man that's made to live by this Christ through his gospel, when they've heard him, they cannot hear another. They cannot follow these other false shepherds. They've heard the good shepherd. He's come their way. He's touched them. He's healed them. He's saved them. And they cannot hear these false shepherds. They can see they're false. They can see they're in it for their own interest. They can see they're preaching another Christ. They say, that's not the Christ I know. That's not the Christ in the scriptures. Once I might have believed you. Once I couldn't tell. You came with your Bible and you spake of a Christ and you said many right things and it seemed right. I couldn't tell. But now I know, because the true Christ has taken his word and made it living to me. And I know who he is. And I know that you're not of him. And I know that your Christ is not him. Your Christ is not Christ. They won't be deceived, because they've been foretold of these false Christs and these false prophets. They know they will come, and they're watching for their coming. And when they come, they see them and discern them and know them and turn from them. For false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. But take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. They've been foretold. O false prophets, you cannot deceive these, because these sheep, these poor, wretched sheep that you despise, that you drag into your synagogues, in your churches and beat up, these poor, wretched followers of Jesus Christ that you reject because they won't follow you and they won't bow down to your false gospel and they won't serve in your church and they won't have followed the way that you say they should go. These poor wretched people that you'd cast out and trample underfoot like you did with the Christ, their master, in the beginning. These poor sheep have been foretold of you. So they will not hear your message. O false prophets, you will not deceive the elect, because Christ has foretold them. They've been foretold by Christ himself. They've heard the true Christ, the only true and living God. They know the one who is Christ. They know the one who is true. They know the one who is truth himself. They know the Christ who has come from God. They know the one who preaches the gospel, who wrought the gospel, and who sends that gospel by his prophets. Those prophets whom he calls, those prophets whom he sends, and those prophets in whose mouths his word is placed. They've heard them. They've heard his voice and his message through them. They know him. And his care for them, his care for his elect, is such that he has foretold them of all that shall come to pass. They're ready. They watch. They watch for his coming. And because they watch for his coming at the end, they know that before he comes, false Christ and false prophet shall come, seeking to deceive. But they know who they are. And they will not follow. Then who will you hear? Who will you hear today? Who are you following? Who are you hearing? What Christ do you believe in? If you're his elect, then you will hear him and no one else. You won't be deceived. You will hear and you will embrace the gospel of grace. The gospel of a sovereign God and a sovereign Saviour who saves whom he wills because he pleases to. because he with everlasting love has set his love upon them, and he will love them to the end. You will hear his gospel, the gospel of grace, the gospel of election, the gospel of Christ. But if you've never heard him, if you've never seen him, if you come to these things with your own understanding and your own wisdom, then when one comes and says, lo, here's Christ, lo, there he is, off you'll go, to this one and to that one, off to this church, then off to that church, then off to the other church, seeking God and never finding him, seeking Christ and never knowing him. Oh, you know all about him. You know all that the scriptures say about him. You know all that you've been told about him by this one and that one. This church says this thing and that church says the other thing. The Catholics say this thing. The Brethren say that thing. The Methodists say that thing. They each have their message. They each have their way. And this one agrees and that one disagrees. And you go off after that and you go off after that. But you never know Christ himself. Maybe you've come to see that this church has another Christ and you've rejected that one. So you've gone off after this one and your knowledge and your understanding becomes more and more perfect. But you never know him. Ever learning, but never coming to a knowledge of the truth. But if you've heard him and you've heard him foretell you all things, and if he has said unto you as he says unto all, what? And if you are watching, then you will see. You will see the false Christs come and go. You will see the false prophets come and go. You will see many seduced who follow. But you will stand. You will endure unto the end. You will be taken up into the synagogues and beaten. You will be brought before kings and rulers for his sake, for a testimony against them. But you will stand because you're in Christ and you know him. You know him and you know his gospel. You know his grace. You know his mercy. You know his love. You know what he suffered for you in particular. You know what he endured. You know how great a sinner you are. You know what he must have endured. What price he must have paid. What sins he suffered for. You know what you've done. You know what you've said. And it melts you that he should suffer for you in such a way. But you know he did, because he's come to you, and he's spoken unto you, and he loves you, and you love him, and you will stand with him, and be kept by him, as his sheep, as his elect, undeceived, one with Christ, saved with an everlasting salvation, kept to the uttermost, kept to the end, kept in the love of Christ forever, and you will stand, and you will watch. And you will wait, and one day he will come, and you will be gathered up, and you will stand with him forevermore, to stand around his throne, and to cast your crown before him, and to worship the Lamb of God, which was slain from the foundation of the world, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, the Lamb of God, who loved you, and gave himself for you. Amen.